We're doing it right.
We're about to get mad deep.
We're getting deep with the guest. We got him. Mehdi Benhamed. He's here on Two Deep Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it. Mehdi, welcome. Our first guest of season 10. Welcome to the show, my man.
It's an absolute honor. Thank you for having me, man.
Yes, sir.
This is it's an honor to have you. You're on the first guest of the golden season.
The centennial.
The road to 100.
You would have brought flowers, aren't you guys?
Damn, you brought us beer, though.
Yeah.
To us, that's more important. Obviously, he's not just a guest. He's a sponsor. And this week, I'll let you introduce who you got the brews.
I copped them some Founders All Day IPA.
These aren't twist-offs, right?
Nah, I think you need a bottle cap. Actually,
I got you. Oh, no. He don't need one.
Well, I mean, they got a
this
weird
guy's
one.
Been. This guy's been perfecting. Perfecting.
Yeah, but they're not catching right now. Oh, there we go.
Can I try some? Bro, watch this.
Good.
Watch what I've done. Watch what I've done. Give me.
Oh, you used the ring?
Dude, I did. I just tried it, and it worked.
Oh, shit.
Easy.
You guys ever use the tooth?
Yes. We actually did that first time live.
On the podcast with one of our former guests, Kevin.
We've tried many different ways to open a bottle cap. Tooth, ring, other bottle, asshole, anything.
Asshole.
I mean, wait.
Wish I was on that episode.
Anyway. Decent. Dude, I feel like the last few times I've been smelling the beers, they've been giving me wicked stench.
I was worried when I saw IPA because
cheers.
I was like, I have exams in 2 days, and I was like, I'm trying to avoid getting like lit. I was worried it was gonna be like a 10%.
Ooh.
No, Founders is good.
I needed that one.
How's that going for you?
Because normally,
wow, only 4.7.
Normally, I don't like, I don't go weeks without like drinking, right? But obviously, I have exams coming up. And like that just makes these hits so much better.
The after flavors I'm getting. You get that first sting of the IPA, but it's not overwhelming. And then you get, what is that? Hold on, let me try to put a name on it.
No, it's like that hop.
Yeah, but the aftertaste.
I'm getting woody.
Yeah.
I'm getting
I got mad camping vibes from
like mad camping vibes.
I was going to say it literally tastes like forest. Like at the end. Get that like, it almost has like that impact on like your,
like now you're starting fire.
My chest hair is growing. I feel like I could sit exactly around a fire, drink these. It's good. It's crisp. It's like smooth. It's not very bitter, especially for an IPA.
Bro, this is hitting different right now.
This is very quality. Thank you, Mehdi.
Of course. The last time I had Founders was a couple years ago, my freshman semester. Me and my boys got an Airbnb. Just pounded mad Founders.
Dude, this is really good.
Where is it from?
No idea. Like the liquor store?
Beep, beep, beep.
No.
Ooh, Puerto Rico.
What? Because it says brewed. Oh, it says.
Oh, no. That's just where you can get money for it by donating back, by recycling.
Yeah, I think it's from the U.S. That would make sense by the name.
Family's Brewing Co. Yeah, Michigan.
Dude, there's like
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
There's like a whole IPA culture of just people who like brew their own. They just like meet up together and taste each other's IPAs.
I can see it.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of like those new breweries kind of have that too. Like what's the one? Bolero.
The Bolero,
store.
Yeah.
That's the one in my town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Victory is a brewery in PA.
Yeah.
Yo, he was going to get us Sour Monkeys. I was like, we already had them.
Yeah, we are.
There's New Jersey has like a big apple, like hard apple cider.
Jersey?
Industry, yeah. My one of my professors was telling me like there's a really nice brewery. I forgot the name. But apparently New Jersey's known for its hard apple cider. Check one out.
We had a sus season.
So
we usually drink beers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finale, we drink a bottle.
Mm.
But one season, we were like, yo, let's do
one.
No. Well, for the finale one time, we did do wine. But we were like, instead of beers, let's do, like, seltzers, ciders, the other drinks like Smirnoff, the lemonade shit, and we tried a cider and it was horrendous. But it was only one, and it wasn't Angry Orchard. And that's like the most notorious that I think of. When I think of cider, I think Angry Orchard. Yeah, I
forgot. What do we have?
Red's Hard Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Red's Hard Apple.
Horrendous.
That was whack.
What did it rate?
5.15.
Oh, shit.
Horrendous, yeah.
How'd you guys get it to the second decimal? I'm curious.
Because we average our two
scores. Oh, okay. I'm like, these guys got a whole grading system.
Bro, now this is where I have a problem, dude. This is like a... Look, go back to that. Hang on. Why is that... Why do we have those scores there? The
0.83?
Yeah.
What do you mean? That's what we took, gave to the seltzer.
Took into account the guest scores for that one.
No.
Yeah. How do you get 8.83 with two scores?
Oh, I guess we did. But again, the sus list, we gave like an NJIT ranking, minus two, because it's not beer.
Yeah, so normally it would be a 6.83. It would be a 6.83 instead of
an 8. Yeah, but we did. Yeah, that's a good point. But I will say for this, so we actually have a whole spreadsheet.
You ready to rate this?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
We forgot to do this. Should have taken a piss before the episode.
Fuck. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. 7, 8. Not bad.
It's pretty close. This is it. So
that's a good score.
We have our whole ranking, and you could see for the beers, we only have me and Paul for Kentucky the averages. Coffee. Yeah, Kentucky barrel beers.
We found that's the best.
Insane.
So you see, as of now, excluding the scores from this season, based on that, it'll be ranked at... tied for 13th.
But I will say...
So that's pretty good compared to how many beers have we had now? It's like...
I don't fucking know. Here we go. 72 plus the four that we've had this season. 76. Yeah,
so 76 beers. I mean, you're top 20. That's pretty good. It's going to land in the top 20.
I mean,
so.
8.1 and a 7.8 is a 7.95.
Correct.
So right now it's 13th, tied with Bolero, funny enough. But I will say, the Seltzernog might just be a solid 8.83. If you remember, it was nuts. It was nuts. It was literally
that had
cracked eggnog.
Yeah,
cracked eggnog.
You've had eggnog before?
Yeah.
Cracked eggnog. And it was Bud Light.
Yeah, a Bud Light seltzer was unbelievable.
Like you think of seltzer, you think of like, you know, the White Claws and that carbonated taste. So when we saw this, we were like, this is gonna be nasty. It was gonna be gross.
It was a pack of four different flavors.
Seltzernog, sugar plum, cranberry, and cherry cordial.
Yeah, because we had
cherry cordial,
which came in last, which is crazy. First,
so
and last
so we thought cherry
pack.
Cordial, like we're thinking like maybe that.
That's
might
the be, same, yeah.
That's, we thought Seltzernog was gonna be the worst one.
Yeah, we're like, there's no way eggnog and seltzer go together.
Yeah,
we were rocked.
They figured it out.
But there you go. There you have it. So there's the scores. But usually, as you all know, whenever we have a guest on, we give him or her a little bit of time to have an elevator speech. Let everybody know who you are, anything you want them to know, little intro. Kick us off.
So, my name is Mehdi Ben Hamid. I'm 22. As far as things I do, I'm usually just bodybuilding, competitive bodybuilding, and... hopefully aspiring to be a published poet this year.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
This is news to me.
So, those are the two main things that I'm doing right now besides school and work.
Mm-hmm.
That's really just it.
Yeah. He's an NJIT guy. He's a teak guy. That's how I know Mehdi.
Oh, yeah.
Met him through there. And can you give us a haiku?
A haiku? Put me on the spot.
Nah, those are tough.
This is interesting now, because I've never heard anyone.
Like, this is a first for us, yeah.
I've never had anyone I know who's been, like, an aspiring poet. What do you normally, like, do you have a specific type of poem you do, or...
Yeah, that's a great question. I love narrative poetry.
Okay.
It's like, the reason I fell in love with poetry is T.S. Eliot. He writes a lot of narrative poetry, so it's poetry but telling a story. Usually about a character or like a scene. He was big into like, what do you call it? He's like a romantic poet. So I'm a big fan of his style. And I like to write. The main thing I'm working on right now for the book is basically the character's called Our Friend. And this man is basically just like a loner wandering through the city. And he'll meet different people in the city. So he'll meet a homeless man who's completely happy with everything he has in life. And then he'll meet a businessman who's like, you know, just looking for materialism and money and et cetera, et cetera. Wow. So it just follows his journey. And then on the other side of the coin, I'm working on a sailor. On a sailor who's embarking on a journey alone.
Wow. Maddie.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did. That's sick. That's so cool.
That's so cool. And I mean, you're going to school for what?
Construction management.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had a couple friends who, I think they graduated already.
That's crazy.
Went into construction management. Yeah.
Two sides of the spectrum. I feel like you have your typical stereotypical bodybuilder. You know, testosterone, fucking gorilla in the gym, meathead, exactly. And then you have, like, a gentle side of poetry and the beauty in that. Yeah. I'm going to get the book when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll give you a copy.
That's fire. Yeah. You have a title for it yet?
I think I'm just going to title it Our Friend.
Our Friend, right?
Yeah. I have a professor from Rutgers who's helping me.
Wow.
Wow.
That's tough, bro.
Yeah.
What made you get into that?
As far as writing or
yeah, just poetry in general. Poetry. Yeah.
So I was in a class in high school. And I know
you said Eliot, but
yeah, T.S. Eliot. So yeah. I remember being in a class in high school. It was just a literature class, and I was never into poetry. I thought it was like thought it was for, you know, pussy, basically.
Yeah.
And then I read we had to read a poem in class called The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, by T.S. Eliot, and. It took me, like, so long to try and understand the poem and the character and what he was going through. And I felt like, how can someone's writing make me, like, this interested in this person's story who's completely fabricated?
Yeah.
And just, like, some of the lines in that poem are really beautiful.
Wow.
Like, I know one line is, "Let us go then, you and I," where, like, I forgot the rest of it, but it's a really beautiful poem.
Nice. Were you into, like, reading before that, or...?
Not as much, really.
It was just really that just set it off?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, why poetry and not, like, being just a normal, like, a writer, like, writing books or just standard, like novels, you know? Why poetry instead of that? Because that's also, like, telling the story of oftentimes, like, a fabricated person or like, a story that...
And in my opinion, probably writing a story is probably a little bit easier than poetry. I feel like it's a little more complicated to tell a story through a poem.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like to keep a quality of like writing throughout an entire book is I feel like that definitely takes a lot more finesse, creativity,
and precision.
Yes,
but from the other side of it, it's like with less. Those words and that writing have to mean more, like a, you know, like a quote, like one line has to basically equate to like a chapter. But I feel like if you find the right line, it does, right? I mean, how many quotes do we hear on a daily basis? If you're scrolling through social media or whatever, and you see this super inspiring quote, or like a line
just
from
the perfect
a poem,
arrangement
yeah,
of words.
Exactly,
yeah,
and it's like it means so much, right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
so like,
really
is it? So do you find it? So you think it's easier to find that versus write like a novel? It's like a chapter itself, just telling a story, especially from a narrative perspective.
I think definitely keeping consistency throughout an entire book is definitely harder. But I think you guys have like changed my perspective a little bit, and I think that maybe when you are doing less, it has to mean more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm taking away from right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In life. If you don't have a lot of shit, you gotta make the most of it, for sure. Do you think this poetry translates at all into your bodybuilding lifestyle? Or are they like completely separate?
I think both are expressions of emotions I may deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think poetry really helps me kind of keep myself grounded. while bodybuilding helps me keep myself, like the pursuit of an ideal, you know, yeah. like an ideal physique or an ideal PR on a, on an exercise yeah. or something. I think those two have definitely translated into my...
So, what I was... Do you feel that when you work out, oftentimes your motivation is always centered around...
Pussy? I mean...
That's another thing we could get to, but do you think it's more centered around just getting to that ideal physique to compete? Or does part of it also come down to, like, working out is like my mental getaway? Like, it's not like while I'm working out I'm like, I'm gonna fucking win this next competition. It's like, it's just like, I don't want to think about school or work or anything else in my life. Mm-hmm. I just it's my getaway, you know.
I think so I used to do powerlifting when I was younger,
yeah,
and I think I still loved working out then just as much as I do now. So I think it's sometimes it is less of me looking for an ideal physique and more of me using it as like a therapy almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like yeah. Even if
and the physique just comes with it.
Yes, yes. So like even if I didn't want to eat 6 meals a day or, you know, do all that extra bullshit, I would still be going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think that going to the gym has helped you with your mental stability, your life, shit like that?
It's definitely helped me be more confident. Mm-hmm. I used to be kind of in my own shell in high school. And, like, until I started playing soccer or until I started lifting. Lifting is when it really started, is when I felt like I could, you know, you meet people in the gym, you talk to them.
Exactly.
It equates to, if you go into, a job interview or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I can walk into a job interview and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling kind of jacked in this... In this dress shirt that's definitely undersized. And, like, my biceps are about to tear out of it. But, mm-hmm. You know, like, have the confidence to like sit there and just stare them in the eye. And...
Dude, I feel that. Cause like, it's crazy. Like I go to work, I work at a chemical processing plant. So, you know, there's people that go to the gym there, mm-hmm. but I feel, it's weird, but I feel like I'm higher than them. Like, my confidence level and that my confidence comes from a lot of different things. Certainly comes from Teak. Certainly comes from being in sports for my whole life, having people around me, different people, talking with them, learning how to communicate with others, leading people. Mm-hmm. But when you have physical confidence, not just an emotional, I can do this, like I can talk, but like, you know, you feel good, you feel like you look good, people look at you differently, people talk to you differently, they show respect more. Right. And like, there's like these guys, at my work and, you know, like, I don't judge, like, you know, I told myself, like, when I get older, when I'm fucking 60 years old and I don't give a shit anymore, like, I'm just going to eat. I don't care if I get fat, really. Like, when I'm 60, I'm dying. Who really cares at that point? Like, right now, like, I want to be physically fit, obviously. Yeah. But like, there's a bunch of these guys who are like, you know, 40s, 50s, who are chunky, and they're like, oh, like, you'll get there, like, you'll be fat.
Yeah, that's what I get.
And I'm like,
it's complacency.
No, I'm not. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of have this aura around you, like this demeanor around you that like
demands respect.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, I like having that going into work. And like, you know, like if I'm this small, feeble guy, you know, people might not take me as seriously, but when you're working out and you have some good physique, it's like people see that and they're like, okay, this guy's disciplined.
Yeah, I was going to literally say that.
This guy's disciplined. This guy knows how to handle himself. This guy has his shit together.
He takes care of himself.
He's a respectable person, you know? So I'm going to tend to hang around this guy and associate myself with him because he seems like he's got it going on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a fantastic point.
Yeah.
It's really also like when you do demand that respect, it also makes all those facets of your life much easier. Like, talking to people, talking to girls, you know, job.
Yeah. You feel more confident in yourself. You feel like, you know, people look at you a different way.
Yeah.
Well, cause you embody, like you said, having being physically fit is the embodiment of discipline,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, barring people who obviously use steroids, but like even those people, I mean, like, well, like, bar... No, but, no, I'm saying, like, even if you don't... No, even if you use steroids, there's still a level of, like...
You don't just take steroids and get jacked, though. You have to still work out.
Still work out. So, like, regardless, it's still, like, an embodiment of discipline, mm-hmm. right? And I think that in itself is what earns you respect from not necessarily the people around us, you know, because obviously we're all young, but from people older than us, right? Like those chunky 40, 50-year-olds who, like, are higher up in a company or something.
Yeah. They got complacent. Those people,
they look at you and they're like, they have respect for you because it's like, no, but they still have respect because they're like, fuck, like, because deep down, they might say that, but also, like, deep down, they might be like, fuck, like, I remember when I was that age.
Exactly.
Like, I wasn't like that.
But that's what they all say. They're like, oh, when I was 23, I was a beast. And I'm like, all right, what happened?
It's the bench 405 back in my day.
Exactly. Let me fucking see it now.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, it's not easy.
I've definitely seen it firsthand, too. When I used to be a personal trainer, had a client who started off insanely skinny. He was having relationship issues. He was seeing a therapist at the time. And, like, over time, he kept being consistent with our sessions, and he was going on his own. And you just see over time, as he was gaining more size, he was standing upright more.
Exactly.
He said his posture. Therapist even was like, you're getting kind of jacked, and things in his... He started communicating better with his partner. It was just nice to see him overall benefit from just, you know... From lifting weights.
It's, being healthy.
Yeah.
It changes all aspects of your life, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it builds structure from... On a confidence level. And, like... Well, not... It impacts your confidence. Like, when you have... Think about, for example, like, when you don't do shit in a day. You feel like you don't have structure.
Like shit, yeah.
You feel like you don't have structure, right? Versus, like, yeah, you might be fucking pain in the ass to wake up super early, or, like, or if you go to the gym later in the day, like, it might be like, fuck, I don't feel like going to the gym right now.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're able to go and get that done, you might be tired afterwards, but you feel good.
That's what I was going to say.
That makes you feel confident versus, like, feeling like shit.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like a lot of that lethargic feeling that you get, you know, trying to get out of bed in the morning, or you get home from work and you don't want to go to the gym. When you do go to the gym, you feel more energized coming out of it. You 100%. Don't feel that laziness anymore. You don't feel that lack of energy.
100%. Mm-hmm. The best I felt in my life was a year ago. I started going to, this guy was on the podcast.
Kuba.
And he's on our men's league team. He ran like, what are those fucking, like sessions in the, it's 6:30 a.m., right?
Bro, morning sessions hit.
And it was like, it wasn't, I don't know what to call it, like HIIT training sessions.
High intensity. Know,
like,
Like circus and stuff?
Yeah. And like, I did that, like, every day for, like, 2-3 weeks. It was, like, towards the end of, like, exams and then, like, going towards the new year. Those couple weeks were the best I felt.
For sure.
In my life. It wasn't even close.
I'm a big advocate of early morning workouts, man. It's a great way to start your life, bro.
You go at, like, 5, right? Morning.
Huh?
You go at, like, 5 a.m.?
Yeah. I usually get to the gym around 5:15.
Yeah.
I wake up 4:30. And then just get my shit together and dip.
Yeah.
I have to take her out, obviously, Summit. So obviously bodybuilding is good, you know, for health, mental health, physical health, emotion, confidence.
Bodybuilding is like as a competitive sense is definitely not the healthiest thing you can do.
But that's what I was going to say. So, you know, you talked about how, you know, you fell in love with going to the gym and what that did for you.
Mm-hmm.
But where was the transition, and what caused the transition from you to being like, okay, I don't want to just work out anymore. I want to, like, compete in working out.
It was during lockdown, actually. Like, I was just, you know, like everyone else was at the time, just chilling all day, doing absolutely, you know, jack shit. And I just started, you know, when you go through, like, YouTube rabbit holes, like 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
You just, like, find, like, some weird shit. But I got to, like, bodybuilding videos. And I always used to watch them in high school, but I never really gave bodybuilding, you know, a serious thought. Or, like, the time of day. I was just like, I like powerlifting and lifting heavy. But seeing those guys pose, seeing those guys, like, transition the pain they go through in life into, you know, into a physical form, and seeing them try be triumphant in the end, regardless of the results.
Yeah.
I think that for me was like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do the hardest thing I think I could.
And how long have you been, like, working towards that?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, and I know you were in one competition that was actually a funny story. Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Oh, where I signed up for the So I was supposed to do True Novice, which is first-time competitors. But I ended up doing Juniors, which is for people who have some experience.
Okay.
So those guys kind of... I placed fifth in that class. Those guys showed up looking great, man. Like, you know, I just...
Is there weight classes?
Yeah. Yeah, so they'll do it by height. And then in classic physique, okay, which is what I do, they'll cap your weight at a certain height. Because okay, the issue with bodybuilding is these guys are just showing up as fucking mass monsters.
Yeah.
Like they were getting the gut.
Yeah.
And people are like, this is not like what bodybuilding used to be. So they're like, okay, we'll bring back classic physique and we'll cap the weight.
For shreds.
Yeah, just for like aesthetics and shreds.
So what are the different types, right? Classic physique.
There's men's physique, which is the guys wearing the board shorts. I don't know if you guys have seen them, like the swim shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
That league started off as the ideal male beach body.
Okay.
Now it's just transitioned into like fucking freaks.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, it's not the ideal male physique.
Let's look these up.
Yeah. Like, look up men's physique, maybe in the beginning, and then look at men's physique now. You'll see a transition from ideal male physique to just, like, what the fuck.
Yeah, wow.
Like, even the guy on the left, Jeremy Buendia, I think he won it 6 times. He was the beginning of the age of, like, the freaks of men's physique. Like, look up 2010 men's physique. Like, look at that. On the left versus the right. Yeah. Like, those guys on the left is... It could be naturally attainable for somebody with great genetics.
Yeah.
That's like a beach body.
That's like a beach body. Even this guy looks a little out of place between these guys.
Yeah.
But these guys are just bricks.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking eight.
All right, so you have men's physique. You have classic physique, which is what you do.
Yeah.
So this is your fucking C-bum daddy.
Yeah. C-bum's a monster.
Okay.
The guy on the left, I forgot his name, but I really hope he wins this year.
Yeah.
He has an amazing physique.
Terrence. And then, alright, what's another one?
Men's Open. It's just,
just Men's Open?
Yeah.
Is it Olympia?
Yeah.
Now, are these, like...
These are
the roided guys and shit?
Oh, well, they're all roided, but these are
these are the houses.
Yeah.
These are the trucks.
These are the apartment buildings. Yeah. Like,
holy
I've
fuck,
seen some
yeah.
of these people in person.
This guy, Jake Cutler.
Yeah, Jake Cutler's a monster. I've seen some of these people in person. It just it doesn't make sense. I'm sure you've seen them in Signature. So some of those competitors go to
Who's Signature. The guy that they fucking love over there?
Oh,
who won the Olympia?
Sean Clarida. He does he does men's open, but for short guys. It's called 212. The 212 division.
Men's open 212.
Yeah, it's the same concept, but it's just for shorter guys.
You can't really tell.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
So everyone's on roids.
I don't want to say everyone, but in bodybuilding, for the most part, you could definitely bet your money on them being on roids.
The like top guys.
Not the top guys. Even some of the guys at regional shows, local shows.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are on roids. I'm on roids.
So what's up with that? So what's the... Like, there's no regulation against that? There's no...
No. They know it... people like seeing, like, freaks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a performance. It's more of a pageant, you know?
Okay.
So people want to be entertained. They're not gonna, you know, cut their profits and drug testing.
I saw something where, like, they had it banned at one point, and then people got upset who used to go because they said that, like, this, we're just looking at, like, normal.
Average-looking guys.
So, like, we want to come here and see freaks, so they just changed it back.
So there's a lot of stigma around that, though. How do you feel about that?
Like, your steroid
usage? Yeah, the use of steroids.
I don't really care what people think on my end, personally. I just, the one thing I really don't like is when people are dishonest about their steroid use.
Natty or not.
Yeah. So, like, for example, Liver King.
Oh, yeah. That came out. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I don't know why people were surprised. The guy was also, like a fucking big house.
Everyone kind of knew that.
You don't have that minimal body fat and
be
that
jacked. Another good way to tell is the color of his skin was really red.
What? Oh, really? That's a telltale sign.
Yeah, your body
sign.
Produces more red blood cells when you when you're on steroids, which is why the bodybuilders don't eat blood a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, what kind of steroids are you on?
So somebody, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, then we'll get
it. So they donate blood with steroid shit in it, so somebody who gets their blood is going to have steroids, they're just going to become a monster.
That's a good question. I don't know, do you think the hormones would translate?
Well, think about it. You're not allowed to donate blood if you've had a tattoo in the last 3 months.
That's a good question. I never thought about that.
You know?
Yeah.
So imagine somebody just fucking pops some test right into them. And then they go donate blood. The person who's getting
it. Can we look this up? Can you donate blood if you're on steroids? Like, I know guys who do donate blood. Because they're on cycle.
Some people are at high risk of bloodborne infections, which make them ineligible to donate blood. These high-risk groups include anyone who's used injected drugs, steroids,
or injected steroids.
Okay, so, but there's different forms.
Yes, so there's...
You can take pills, right?
Orals, and there's injectables. Orals are much harder on the body and the kidneys. They're more hepatotoxic.
Okay.
They're and then injectables are just, you know, you inject it.
So what do you use? Injectables?
Yeah, testosterone. Oh, I'm so... I'm on 500 milligrams of test.
So that...
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just testosterone.
Yeah.
So is that technically considered like... Well, okay, obviously it's like performance enhancing, but like... Are there... So when you're just... I mean, I can't imagine that has like negative health effects if you're just...
No, it
like
does.
Shooting your... It does?
Yeah, it's anything you put in your body will.
So...
I don't want to fool myself into, you know...
Now, how do you come to, you've come to terms with the fact that, like, you're going to experience, like...
Yeah, I've also given myself an ultimatum. If I don't see my bodybuilding career being fruitful, because I obviously want to win, there's a competitive aspect to it, I'm not going to be the guy who's blasting shit in his 30s and dies when he's 45.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's kind of a limit to it, and it's not, like, because I've seen, you know, people who are saying they're on... test, HGH, fucking SARMs, like, they're doing cycles of all this different shit, like, that's dangerous, but, you know, if you're smart with it, and, you know, you're only sticking to one,
yeah,
like, what's some negative side effects to what you're doing right now?
As far as me personally?
Smaller nutsack, like, is that accurate?
I'll show you after.
Okay, bet. Good looks.
I haven't measured.
Yeah, you're not doing the circumference of your ball sack, obviously.
Yeah, it's not really, on my agenda at all.
Yeah.
But, I think...
Makes your dick look bigger, actually.
It does, yeah, it does.
So...
And the sex drive's pretty crazy. But,
Well, Tez, right?
Yeah. Mostly just acne for me, on the back.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'll just get, some back acne.
But anything with, your insides, your intestines?
Thankfully, as of right now, no. I got I had a checkup in the summer. Lungs and heart were fine, bloods were fine. There's really nothing concern.
Is there anything that you understand is a high risk, you know? Or that you if let's say for example you can let's say you become successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
You advance with your bodybuilding career, is there anything you could see as eventually catching up, you know, or have you done the research on it to
Doing right now or potentially?
No. Let's say what you're doing right now, what in the future could that
impact? Like long term effects, not just acne, you know, which is short term.
So a test isn't really known for producing long term effects.
Because it's natural technically, right? The body produces it.
But there are some substances like Tren.
Yeah, that's another one I forgot.
Permanent mental like dysfunction. There are horror stories of guys going fucking psycho. When I say psycho, I mean like they'll kill their partner.
Yeah, I heard
that. Or they'll go fucking basically schizo.
Yeah.
Like Tren is definitely not a substance I will indulge in.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy, man.
But it really makes you wonder what makes people like go that far with it, and it's for the ideal male physique. And then you ask yourself why, like why
go that far?
Yeah, why go that far? You know.
Well, I guess mm-hmm. you just have to become so obsessed with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think you're like how obsessed? You're. I mean, you have to be pretty obsessed if you're doing like.
Because you're right? prepping for a competition right now, correct?
Yes.
And when is that?
In the May June. In the area, I'm not sure.
May, June?
Yeah, May/June, I'm not exactly sure.
Really? And you're already, like, preparing?
Yeah. You gotta, especially the cutting phase for me. It usually takes...
That's what I'm saying, you're cutting right now, right?
Well, my coach right now wants to bulk me back up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But I have been having some appetite issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about that today. But, yeah, it takes time. It takes time.
Fuck, man.
Even with gear.
It seems brutal, yeah. man.
And what's gear? Gear is just any form of steroids?
Any form of steroids.
Just another term.
It's a slang, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
But there's a lot of things wrong with I guess the industry and its gear usage is because people are just dishonest about it. I mean, Liver King was making fucking millions off of people who thought, if I use this
carnivore
guy's product,
diet.
Yeah.
If I follow this guy's diet, I'll look just like him because I don't want to be insecure in my body anymore. And then it's like, obviously that's, you know, you're not going to get a body like his because you're not taking the shit he's taking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the same genetics as him. You're not doing what he's doing. It's really fucked up because I've trained clients who come to me and they're like, I'm willing to spend $1,000 on supplements. Like, tell me what I need. Like, you literally just need protein. Like, you don't
need... I'm a big advocate of that as well. Like, there's so many shit. Like,
maybe
a
multivitamin.
What's the one for your digestion?
Oh, like probiotics.
Probiotics, yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. Yeah, like I'm talking about like the fucking people have put like raw cow liver in pills. People are fucking. Like,
that's just people making money.
Icing their ball sacks.
Oh, the fucking water. Jacuzzi, the Balkuzzi.
Yeah,
that's for like bodybuilding purposes.
It's for like male self improvement. You know, it's I feel like it all falls under the same domain, is like male self improvement, and it's just like self improvement in general, male and women. There's both ends to it, but it's really like people are capitalizing off of people's insecurities. And like I said, I've seen it in person. People like clients have come up to me. They're like, I'm willing to spend this much. Like, tell me what I need, and I'm like, just protein.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't need this and this and this. I'm like, you don't. You really don't.
Protein and a multivitamin.
Yeah. Maybe if you really want creatine, but...
I take creatine.
Yeah, creatine's a good one.
Technically, I'm not natty, right?
No, that's not true. You are natty. The fuck?
I heard creatine makes you not natty, though. It's on the banned substance list for the NCAA. You know that?
I was talking to, actually, Armando about this yesterday. You could take creatine as a pro baseball player.
Yeah. NCAA is a violation, though.
It's a violation, really?
Correct.
They asked you for creatine? How do they do that?
They can do blood tests or urine tests. I don't know if creatine shows up in urine tests, but they could do blood tests.
I don't see why.
Because, listen, that's actually what happened. So, a team at NJIT, I won't announce who, was randomly drug tested.
Mm.
All of them, not all of them, but a large sum of them smoke weed. And the select, because it's random selection, it's not like the whole team. But, like that random selection where the majority of them smoked weed and they were all like, we're fucked, we're gonna get screwed. None of those tests came back. You know what they got called to the office for? Creatine.
No fucking way, man. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, my personal opinion is I don't really see creatine as that much of a game changer to like say.
But it's a performance enhancing drug. Whether it's as extensive and as ecstatic as fucking Tren, obviously not. But to its bare bones, it is a performance-enhancing drug.
I guess.
And that's what that's what is in violation of the NCAA code. Because like what it does, correct me if I'm wrong, it allows your muscles to absorb more water and retain more
ATP,
water.
More ATP.
Okay, I didn't know that. So that's like, and which allows you to look bigger, but it also helps you lift more weight.
Yes.
It's a performance enhancer in and of itself, unfortunately, right? It's not as drastic as other types of gear, but it still is. That's why it's still illegal.
Yeah.
Or banned, I should say.
Didn't know that.
But it sucks because you could buy it at fucking GNC.
Yeah.
Ain't no problem.
GNC used to sell, I forgot the name of what they call it, but it's a different version of Trend in the early 2000s.
Yeah?
Yeah, they did like a, it was a product that came out that a lot of people were buying. They didn't know it was just Trend in a different form.
Mm.
Forgot what it was called. Fuck. It's a weird industry, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weird shit.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in the bodybuilding industry or heard of?
Heard of. Okay, let's get into it. So, there's different, call them leagues to bodybuilding. There's the NPC, which is the biggest and, you know, most popular. There's the...
Non-playable character?
National Physique Committee, NPC, I think.
Okay.
And then you compete in the NPC to go into the internet IFBB leagues.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah. There's I think, NBPF, it's natural bodybuilding.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of, like, smaller ones. They don't really, like, they're not really on the map because no one fucking goes to their competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do. Anyway, the NPC is headed by basically a man named Steven Weinberger.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of this man.
Mm.
And, I mean, if you just want to look at his face really quick,
mm-hmm.
and just tell me if this guy strikes you as a trustworthy character.
Yeah, Steven Weinberger?
Yeah.
Mm. There we go.
Go to images.
This one?
Images. Right there.
Yeah, the second
this guy?
Picture. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy.
Look at those. Dude, his face is drooping. Looks like he's had a stroke. Jesus Christ. This is him?
On the left, yeah.
Oh my God. No. This guy looks like a menace.
Yeah, he most definitely is, and I'll tell you why. I was at a competition, and I'm not going to say the guy's name. I love the guy. He's very trustworthy. You guys are just going to have to take my word for it. He knows a lot of people at the top of the industry, and he's told me that this man, Steven Weinberger, will elicit female competitors with sexual activities to help their placing during competitions.
Wait, but so he knows judges or something?
He is the main judge.
His
word is basically, his word is like fucking gold in mm-hmm. the bodybuilding community. And,
holy shit.
Like, this guy will be like, hey, you wanna win this competition? Have a foursome. Me and my wife. Or, let me finger you real quick.
Wow.
What?
And you'll win.
But how did he know this information? He heard it from other women?
He's heard it from the woman that it's happened to, and he's heard it from the men who have dealt with the woman that it's happened to.
Wow.
Like, and I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg.
But I feel
100%, dude. When you're dealing with something like that...
Does he make money?
This guy... Oh, dude. Holy shit. Does this guy make money, man? Let me tell you. Dude, you know how much they charge for these competitions to just compete?
No.
It's like $135 for the membership.
K?
No, $135 for the membership.
Like, what?
And then it's another like $200 or $250 to sign up to compete for whatever division you want to do. And then on top of that, well, the tanning, he doesn't make money from the tanning. I'm sure he maybe makes a little bit because there's a secondhand company that comes and does the tanning for the competitions.
Yeah.
But that's just per competitor. Now the audience, like they do these in hotel venues, and they charge like an arm and a fucking leg, like $75 per person to come and watch. And there's pre-judging, and then there's finals. And they charge separately for the pre-judging and the finals.
But he doesn't get all of that revenue.
But if you go to some of these shows and you look at the quality of like how they run them, they're run like shit, man. And it's like if they're making this much money, why isn't it being invested back into the quality of these competitions?
Yeah, let's look.
$8 million net worth.
So he makes pretty good fucking money.
Yeah, that's him.
$8 million net worth. Wow. So, I mean, I feel like... So this isn't the first time I've heard something like this, right? Like the U.S. women's gymnastics coach.
Coach. That was the team doctor.
It was the doctor?
Yeah, it was the doctor.
Okay, so the U.S. women's gymnastics doctor
Larry Nassar?
Or Ketchum Fields or some shit. Do you know about?
Yeah, he was feeling the young girls up.
Yeah.
He was,
like, taping them eyes, man. Yeah, but, yeah, he eventually got fucking called out in the Me Too movement, which I'm surprised this guy didn't get caught up in that.
Yeah, but, I mean,
bodybuilding's kind of niche.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when you're talking gymnastics, it's like on a national scale. It could get a lot of It could gain a lot of traction, especially with the girls that were coming out.
Yeah. That this Olympic guy stays team at very one. Low key too. He doesn't have an Instagram.
Yeah.
He mainly like he keeps himself very low key.
That's interesting. I mean, like,
have you ever met him?
I've never talked to him, but I've seen him in person.
You seen him?
Yeah.
Creepy guy.
Yeah, you just tell, man. Like, it's just there's something. There's a couple.
I mean, how do you feel about that though? Like him taking advantage of these women.
I think it's insanely fucked up, dude. Like this is a career for some people. It's their main pride and joy, their main source of income. And you know, people are in a position where they're like, he's taking advantage of them.
Yeah,
it's
really interesting.
They do anything to get that title. Yeah,
and it's fucked up that he knows he's in that position to try and do that.
Yeah, he's abusing his power.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then charging people a fucking arm and a leg to see like their friends or family compete. It's
ridiculous. Now, what do female bodybuilders look like? I want to see this. Cause like,
dude, there's a few of them at SIG.
Yeah, they put they're fucking jacked.
They're literally like, bruh.
Yeah, I mean like these girls can fuck me up. I mean like, you know what I mean.
Do we know what Jesus, look at that fucking back.
Yeah, dude.
Look at those shoulders! Jesus Christ!
Brick houses, dude. Strong as fuck.
So these are, like, the types of girls that he's, like, fucking...
Yeah.
Look up look up the winner of... what's, like, a competition?
Miss Olympia?
Yeah, Miss Olympia. You just put Women's Open, Miss Olympia.
Let's see.
I think it's the second picture. I think that was the winner.
Damn.
So, like, yeah. She...
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So, like, it's possible that she was, like,
coerced.
I'm not going to say confirm, but, like, I mean... But it's interesting. I mean, like,
that's... They
like
have to be on roids.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. No, there's no way they're not.
Yeah, but, like, that's... It's interesting to me. Like, he's, like, coercing, like, these women. But, I mean, maybe it's because he's in that position of power where these are the types of women that he could easily take advantage of.
So, my question is this the type of woman that you're attracted to?
I like girls that work out, but,
But, like, bodybuilders. Like, that's your niche, right? So, like, would you find somebody similar to you in that respect?
With that size specifically?
I mean, obviously not a Miss Olympia fucking size woman, yeah. But, you know... Like, she's like, got fucking muscle. Like, she's bigger than
and she's got
a
like,
lot of the
like,
dudes in
like
the gym.
Like, defined abs, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, defined
like,
abs, like, are different.
I'm not talking about, like, the abs, like that you see, like, that girl's... I'm talking about, like, that...
Like shredded?
Ripped. Yeah, like, shredded.
Like, literally muscles popping yeah. out.
I think, I think a fit girl is more what I'm into. Like, works out. The girl I'm talking to now... She's, we work out together. She's honestly kind of jacked, and it's very attractive.
Mm.
Like, she has abs. She has big arms. It's just kind of attractive to me. I don't know. Nice. Just what I like. Yeah. I will accept no judgments.
That's fine. No,
that's good. We can give her a shout out if we want.
Or we would. No, I'll keep it low-key.
I'll keep it low-key.
No, that's... I mean, like, that makes sense, though, because someone like that's going to support you all the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she is very supportive.
There you go. I mean, that goes further than fucking, you know.
It's definitely like I've talked to girls who aren't into fitness or bodybuilding, and they don't understand like I guess the things that I do. Like if I'm going out with a girl and I bring my own meal, they see it as weird.
Yeah. But
the girl I'm currently talking to, she doesn't see it. Yeah, it's just normal.
Exactly. So like she understands you.
It makes conversations easier.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you got to find someone that you fit in with.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why this Weinberger guy's like an asshole, you know? Like I was saying before, you know, you work your whole life to try to get to this point. And, you know, maybe you're not quite there yet, but this guy gives you an opportunity, you know? What's... And who knows how long this fucking guy is lasting. What's 30 minutes for a title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you've already put probably accumulated right like months accumulated of time.
Can you click on that one, the bottom one, the row of like women right there?
This one?
No. Yeah, right there. That. No, this left, one? left.
This one.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's
like
a different division.
Yeah, those are more slim.
Yeah, it's fitness.
Yeah.
Does he judge this though or no?
He judges everything.
Oh,
he'll go on smaller shows all the way up to the
That's what I'm saying. Wow. Like these women have put in accumulated months of time on their bodies. You know, what's 30 minutes of fucking this dude for a title?
It's fucked up,
you know.
He's in a position, I guess, to be able to want to do that. It's fucked up.
I mean, but you see that a lot, and like I was saying, you know, you have these people of power where they can do that, and it gets them off. Huh?
That director, the guy that started the Me Too movement.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Wow, another wine.
Yeah.
Kanye might be onto something.
No comments from me.
I
think Summit said that.
Yeah, fucking shut up, you whore.
Yeah, we're going to stay away from that, because
I have a lot to say. That could be a whole another episode.
That's
you guys should shoot him a DM and invite him to the podcast.
Yeah, he'll show up in his fucking dumbass mask, thinking he's the fucking god or something like that.
Yeah, you know it's bad when Alex Jones is like, yo, chill out.
Yeah.
He said that?
Alex Jones, when Kanye said those comments, he was like, alright, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, I'm a big...
Like Alex Jones is banned from banks and like flying and airports he was like, let's chill out.
Yeah, this guy loves Alex Jones.
I love Alex Jones. Not, but I have to say, I've always said this. People think like, oh, I'm not like, I don't agree with everything he says, but like,
you
I
agree
just find
with a lot
think,
of what he says.
No, I think he's entertaining, and I like the fact that there's someone out there who brings up like these crazy thoughts. I mean, granted, like he is crazy. Right?
I have a stack of his stickers if you want.
I would gladly take them. No, but look at it this way. Look at it this way, right? This is my point about like someone like Alex Jones. It's like if when he was coming out and saying this stuff in 2010 about Epstein's Island, everyone was calling him fucking crazy and nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like what? Like this guy's like out of his mind. Like what's he talking about? Sure enough, come 2022, and it's like. I mean, he's wrong. He's Grant. Like, I mean, the Sandy Hook thing, right? He was pretty.
Yeah,
that
was so stupid.
But then again,
that
like,
was such a funny
but then
like
you
court.
Yeah, yeah. But then
videos.
But then you take the other side of it, and it's like, I mean, there's a argument, like it's important for people to challenge certain things. In my opinion, that's why I think it's good to have someone.
You're
exemplifying that.
You're 100% right. That's the thing. Like you, as an intelligent viewer, can actively view something and take away like the wheat from the chaff. But like I think the issue with him is that there are a lot of his viewers who don't have the ability to like sit down and be like identify the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah,
if you get
exactly.
what I'm saying. And
exactly.
I think that's when it becomes
the what from the what?
Like the wheat from the chaff. You know, like
I've
the wheat
never
shit.
Heard
chaff.
That. What's the fuck's a chaff?
Like, I guess the part of the wheat that you don't want to fucking use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
that's the same, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a no, here's...
I've never heard it before. I'm not denying it.
No,
I'm just... I didn't want to know.
Because like, he's, like, very attractive to, like, those, like, QAnon schizophrenic people who, like...
yeah.
You know, like, people who, like... I've talked about this earlier. The people who, like, look at, like, a pizza menu and be like... You see, like, this T's not crossed. This means it's like, this is, there's a child pedophilia ring run out of the basement here, you know? Like this, like, that sort of shit. That's, like, real, you know?
You want to know something crazy?
What's up?
So, that just kind of tipped it. So, basically, Juan and his boys go up to Vermont. They work on this house.
Yeah.
And they do whatever, right? Apparently, there's this house next door. That's they never seen anybody go in or out. They've never seen anybody in the house, but the light's always on, right? And they were hearing that there was three disappearances on the same day in three successive years. The profile of the people are different, but still, like, it was odd that it was happening like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They found out that originally, this house was listed on Zillow for, like, like a couple, like tens of thousands of dollars. And out of nowhere, a nearby church buys it for $666,000.
What the? It's a very specific number.
Very specific number, way, way, way over the price. And they found that over there in that area, back in the day, there was like underground fucking pathways and shit. And they're trying to figure out themselves, like, the connection between the disappearances, that house, and the church. But they think it's, like, some satanic shit. But they're trying to, like, what kicked my thinking off is, you know, they're trying to cross the T's, like, this means it's this.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to piece together this story, and it's pretty freaky, dude.
I wonder why they chose that number. Like, you know, when you buy a house that's public information,
exactly,
you know how much that house has gone for.
Exactly.
It's like you gotta ask yourself, like, if there was something going on, like, obviously that would ring some bells to anybody who knows what 666 means.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's weird. Like, why are you way over buying a house at that price? And it's a random house. Why is the church buying it?
Yeah. Interesting. Yo, we should check this crib out.
Yeah.
I'm down to B&E.
Go up to Vermont?
B&E.
What's that?
Breaking Enterwives.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm down.
I don't fuck around with that shit.
It's just a joke.
In Minecraft, we're doing it.
Yeah, Minecraft. We're just gonna build the house.
Yeah, B&E. Yeah. No, I'm all like that. I mean, you know what's going on there. We just don't want to admit it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I
want to see it from
my already know about the church. We know what they do with the kids.
Can we figure?
With the kids?
Can we figure out? Can we find that?
I'd have to ask Juan. He pulled up the house and everything.
Let's call him right now.
Yo, I was thinking of trying to join.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you know anything about joining the Freemasons?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God! Yes.
I was talking to one of my friends, one of my closest friends, and I've been thinking about it a lot. Like,
what is that?
The Freemasons?
Like, it's like the Illuminati, dude.
They have lodges all over New Jersey.
Okay.
You ever, a lot of their members wear rings. It's basically like a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a secret society more than a fraternity.
And, so a cult.
Yeah. And, like, they're very, very, like, no one knows anything about how to join or what they do to join. But there's different degrees to being a Freemason. Like, some of the, obviously, the most powerful people in the world are like, publicly Freemasons. And I'm wondering, like, how long it would take me to work my way up with the Freemasons.
Yeah, well, at that point, I mean, like
do I just walk into a lodge and be like, this is my resume?
When Medi becomes a Freemason, like, confirmed, we're not going to exist anymore. The podcast will be shut down. We'll be gone.
Just what?
For anyone. Yeah.
Why?
What do you think?
Because he was on it?
Yeah, and you, like, this
they're going to send you a cease and desist letter.
No,
they're like, yo, this episode, season 3 intro, has to be canceled.
Delete it.
This has to be gone. I mean, this... No, we're... Like, I don't trust any of those fucking societies. I mean, I have a friend who... You know Skull and Bones?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
Harvard.
Yeah. Like, Ivy League... Like, just... Like, elites are part of this. My friend went to Yale. He has, like, 15 people he knows who he went to school with. Who are, like, part of Skull and Bones. Yeah. They won't tell how they got in, whatever. Like, apparently, like, rumor has it that you have to, like, fuck kids to, like, get in. They get it on video.
George Bush.
Because then.
What?
And, you know the guy George Bush ran against? Was it
Al Gore.
They were both in the Skull and Crossbones fraternity at the same time.
You see?
Like, imagine running for president against your like, pledge brother. That's what happened with George Bush.
Yeah, but this is no, like...
This is not like
we're talking like people who run. Like, look up like, Skull and Bones, or Skull.
It's Skull and Crossbones or Skull and Bones. I think it's Skull and Bones.
Just look up. Yeah. Right here. That's it. See right here.
Boys in class, university. Yeah.
So yeah, apparently, like, you, it's really hard to get into this organization, like, or like people don't like the people who are in it will not tell you how you get in.
Bonesmen, they're called bonesmen.
And like the rumor has it that you have to like fuck kids. They get it on video, And, like, basically, like, at that point, like, no one's going to say anything because you can't get that, you can't have that leak. Yeah. Like, they have that, like, blackmail on you. And it's kind of like you're in there. Look, New Haven, Connecticut. You see? This is where Yale is.
Wow.
You ever heard of Bohemian Grove?
Yes.
You cats are into the fucking conspiracy.
You know, Bohemian Grove. Alex Jones snuck into Bohemian Grove. He got it on video. Bohemian Grove, like, that's like a known thing. Like,
is that where the picture of Obama in that really weird, like, costume is from?
Yeah. Pull that up. So look at Bohemian Grove. Like,
is this incognito?
No, I'd be fucked by this point if it.
It's just a place.
No. Go to images. Look, that's not a conspiracy anymore.
Oh.
So, like, they meet up. Yeah, right. Look, that's like a good example. So they worship like this owl god.
Yeah, there's a big caricature of him in the middle of a forest that no one's allowed to go to.
Yeah.
Like the National Park Services has it blocked off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah, that's it. And what they'll do is, like, they'll take, like, a burning, like, a child, basically, like, made of sticks or whatever, like, as, like, a symbol, and, like, sacrifice it to, like, the owl god. They'll burn it. Right? And, like, all these elites are there. Like, former presidents go, like people like that, you know, will go to, like, Bohemian Grove. It's, like, a huge, like, celebrities, everything, mm-hmm. are part of, like, this secret organization. I'm so happy you mentioned that. That's crazy. Like,
or like spirit cookings?
Yeah. Yeah, like...
Spirit cookings are crazy.
Yeah, look that up, too.
You guys know too much. Spear cookings?
Spirit cookings.
Spirit. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's, you know Lady Gaga? So that woman on the right was basically Lady Gaga's role model. She taught Lady Gaga a lot of, like, how to survive in the industry and what to do. She hosts a spear cooking. I think it's every year. I'm not sure on that detail. But
Jay-Z.
Yeah, dude. You see this fucking bullshit, man?
Dude.
These are, like, all these people involved.
Caruso, they'll create, like a realistic human...
Obviously, he's involved.
They'll create realistic, like human for dinner.
They'll cook human for dinner?
No. They'll create, like, what looks like a human being, like, all bloodied up and cut up for dinner.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
dude, it's fucking nuts. These people are crazy, man.
But it's what, like,
I'm telling
cow?
You.
I don't know.
Dude, who the fuck knows what it is?
Yeah.
But here's the craziest shit, man. It's like, you see the people that are involved in this. It's like, the people that run this fucking world. You know? Like, that's why, like, when you really think, like, who are the people that are, kind of ostracizing all these conspiracy theories. It's mainstream media, and it's like these, like, outspoken, like, elites, like Hollywood celebrities, or the people that run massive, like, firms and
Blackstone.
Yeah, like Blackstone, fucking BlackRock, all those fuckers. I have a friend who works for BlackRock. We're gonna have him on. I don't know if we ever got into that. Why he didn't want to come on.
Mm.
But it's basically, you can't talk about, like, you can't say shit on here.
Yeah.
It's a financial institution.
Yeah. He's the one who graduated from Yale. That's
there you go.
Not unsurprisingly, you know, but he basically can't. He basically.
It's all starting to come together.
Yeah, well.
His institution, aka Skull and Bones.
Well, he's not in Skull and Bones, but.
That you know of.
But. No, I know that for.
But
he be fucking them kids.
No,
kids.
I mean, like,
he be fucking them kids.
No, but he is starting to, like, he's worked there now since, like, August, and, like, slowly starting to, like, you know, become kind of, like, I mean, he's still, like, him being my friend has never changed, but, like, I'm sort of, like, immersed in this, like, idea. I think I mentioned this to him earlier. If you had the opportunity to become, like, involved in, like, one of these, like, big, like, you know, become part of, like, the elite class, like, would you do it? I said yes out of, like, curiosity. Fuck the morals. Like, I want to see what's going on.
Some eyes wide shut shit.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't get involved with, like, the Clintons and stuff?
No.
I absolutely would. I'm not, I don't support them politically, but of course I would get involved.
For what purpose?
I would go to Epstein's Island, but I wouldn't do anything there. You could have my word, but I would, what? I want to see what's going on. Cause then just I would
go, snitch?
What?
Just a snitch.
Well, if I snitch, I'm dead.
Well, there's a price for you to do something. Everyone has a price.
Yeah, but like I wouldn't say like
You might only be able to go there if you fuck the kids.
I think fucking the kids comes first.
And yeah, then, it's a prereq.
He's got to
know that you're about it before he takes you to the island, and you get your choices. All right, fucking
no, picked. I have to get into this now because this is I was going last night. Unsurprisingly, such a me thing to do.
Made it back. Imagine this. I knew we were gonna fucking talk about it.
People who have traveled to Jeffrey Epstein's island.
You're pulling it up again?
Yeah.
Why? They have a manifest?
New York Times. Because this is like a fairly reliable source, right?
Allegedly.
Pilot recalls... said cockpit door stayed closed on financiers' planes. Okay. Let me find like the list of people. Okay. Bill Clinton... Donald J. Trump.
Not surprising.
Prince Andrew.
Not surprising.
Robert F. Kennedy. Kevin Spacey.
Robert
Kennedy. Not shocking at all. Due to recent events.
Alright, but this is like, this is...
semi-recent.
Alright, here we go. Famous people have flown on Epstein's plane. Okay, so this is not necessarily like...
yeah, Epstein's plane, that could have been taking them anywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, oftentimes it's like...
the Lolita Express?
Yeah.
Just the name of that plane is really weird.
The what?
The name of that plane.
But what is it?
Lolita Express.
Lolita?
Yeah, there was a book written in the 80s or 90s about, it's really fucked up. I don't even want to, like, I don't know. It's just like, this little girl gets into a relationship with, like, this older guy. Like, and her name was Lolita or something.
What the fuck? And it's called the Lolita Express?
Yes.
Could this guy not have made it any more obvious?
Dude, that's the thing, though. Like,
no, everything's all fucking obvious.
You're just rubbing it in our faces.
Yeah, it always is. But
the sheep masses.
But here's the thing. It's like even if it's not true, isn't there part of people that, like, questions it? Like, don't people ever look at that and think, like, oh... like, maybe that's a little bit suspicious, right? I mean, you have, like, people like Chrissy Teigen, Ellen, who's another one?
Ellen's disgusting.
Oprah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Right? I mean, these are people, like, you know.
But what, is Oprah getting dicked down by
does
a fucking
say,
14-year-old? I'm
does
confused.
Does that say Anthony
Caruso? Yo, shh.
My bad.
All right, I gotta look anyway. At, like, last night.
But the women that are going, what's happening? They're getting dicked down by the kids?
I'm sure they're doing some gruesome things.
Or, like, what? Like, I'm confused. Like, why are the women going there?
They could be pedophiles, too. Okay, so this is my thing, right? Is it just that pedophiles are attracted to becoming elite, or are the elite just elite because they became pedophiles? Do you guys get where I'm going?
No.
Like,
they became elite... they became pedophiles because they were elite. The power gets to their heads. There's many pedophiles that don't become elite.
Yeah.
None of these are giving me a fucking... oh, here we go.
Nobody cares about your damn list.
Yo, he's going down the schizo rabbit hole.
Okay, George Mitchell, former Senate Majority Leader.
Okay, never heard of him. Next.
Oh, here, Mitchell. Here's like a list of
until you tell me Tom fucking Brady went there, I don't give a shit. I don't care if politicians went to Jeffrey Epstein's fucking island.
So here's like a list of fucking people.
I heard Ronaldo went to the island.
That's cap.
Wow. Do you guys remember the Panama Papers?
No.
This happened exactly, I think, during the beginning of lockdown where a bunch of, I think it was the release of like not classified, but documents like exposing a bunch of athletes, musicians.
Oh, actors, I've heard about this. Yeah,
the Panama Papers, and basically like Ronaldo was indicted, like involved in some really weird financial shit, and then it just kind of got buried, like
yeah.
With COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called the Panama Papers.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Why is it not giving me a whole fucking list?
You have 5 seconds to fucking find the list, or I'm ending the episode.
Dude, I want to find this shit. Oh, I have a From the Deep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to go. From the Deep.
Actually, it's really nothing except Christina sent me a video that she's going to put on her TikTok, which does have reach, by the way.
Reach compliant?
Yeah.
That's a Shamrock joke.
Shamrock. Well, I just said that. So she recorded this fucking stupid TikTok.
Put it close to the mic.
I think she's going to post. And it's like a trend where like these fucking fashion girls, she does like fucking fashion and stuff. Like they talk about like what they're wearing. So like she shouted out 2 Deep. Hang on. So they do outfit.
Slippers are from Amazon.
This is like a trend.
And these sweatpants are just launched 2D podcast.
Wow!
I actually got this pair hand-delivered from one of the co-founders of 2D podcast himself. And I love them. I think I'll be living in them this winter.
There we go.
She's mad viral. Wow!
Where can the audience find them?
I posted. So we have pairs here still available. $20 a pair.
Interesting.
I was going to mention that on the outro, which is right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Fuck it. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Medi, thank you for fucking being here. You're the fucking GOAT. Great fucking episode, my man.
It was a pleasure having you. It was a good episode.
Another episode of 2D Podcast in the books.
Yo, you better cop your fucking sweats.
Cop your fucking sweats. Send us a DM. We got medium. We have one fucking large. They're anabolic as fuck.
Oh, the song ended.
That's never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me cop one.
$20. Send us some shit. We'll see you guys next week.